Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jason Mackey's our Pirates insider in Deadhead. Jason, do you like this one?
I do. It's one of the most recognizable songs in their catalog, but I like it. It's much better live, but yeah.
What is their most recognizable song in the Grateful Dead catalog?
Probably Touch of Grey. It's kind of when the mainstream caught on to them just a little bit. It's really their only ever hit. I mean, they've mostly been an underground band, but you would know Touch of Grey, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty, you know, you got that, Uncle John's Band, Sugar Magnolia, Truckin', like those are the ones that people might know. I have nothing against them. I'm a big Touch of Grey fan. Some deadheads like get all squirrely if you say you like Touch of Grey because it feels like a sellout kind of thing. But
what's your favorite Grateful Dead logo? The skull with the lightning bolt that looks like the Tampa Bay Lightning logo, or the one with like the teddy bears walking around?
Probably the you know, if you give me those choices, I'll take the skull. Honestly, in the spring of 90, they went with like this Indian headdress thing that is probably my favorite, but it's a rarity, a weird one. So you have the skull, the recognizable one, most of the time call it Steal Your Face. So I would put that one up there. I like them all though.
Cool. Are you in Milwaukee?
I am.
Never been.
It's a good trip. It's a very good trip. I like Milwaukee a lot. It's a great city.
Rank the NL Central cities to go to, from best to worst.
Best to worst. I'm going to go St. Louis, just barely ahead of Chicago, but they're both great.
Wow.
Chicago 2, Cincinnati 3, Milwaukee 4. But it's hard because I don't really want to put any of them in last place. I like the travel.
How did St. Louis beat Chicago? Great food town, Chicago. Great scene around Wrigley Field. So much to do.
Questioning it a little bit. Maybe COVID has skewed it because there hasn't been a great scene around Wrigley, but yeah, people get all, you know, they're like the best fans in baseball, right? And like people get upset about that. I don't get upset about it. I find it very fun. Like I liken it to covering a game against the Canadians at Bell Center. Like it's just a different aura there. I think it's really cool and it's convenient. There's a hotel right across from there. There's good restaurants downtown. So usually you can get a direct flight, but I am questioning it because Chicago wrong.
They always Maybe get I'm into wrong. The game there.
They do.
It's because they're
crowd.
Always good. And baseball comes first in that town, and you feel it when you go to a Cardinals game.
No doubt. And it's a billion degrees in July. And I tend to like the heat a little bit more than the cold weather stuff. So it's fun.
Man, I went to a Pirates-Cardinals game a few years back now, and it was Tyler Glasnow's debut. In St. Louis, and I made a point, it was an afternoon game, I made a point about an hour and a half before first pitch to just watch him warm up. And I was there with my father-in-law, and I looked at him, and I said, we got to take this in. We might be watching the next great Pirates pitcher. And then we know what happened from there. I don't remember where I was or what I was doing for Mitch Keller's first start, but I'm sure I was probably more skeptical because of what had happened to Glasnow, Jason.
Sure. It was, I remember Keller's first start, man. I covered it. It was my first actual road trip on the beat. I went with Bill Brink. It was a doubleheader in Cincinnati. And remember that? They had him start. This is like one of the, I never understood this. They had him start the second game of a doubleheader for his MLB debut.
So he was thinking about it the whole day.
Yeah. He was thinking about it the whole day. He's in his hotel room just like, ruminating on his thoughts, as opposed to like calling him up and throwing him out there and whatever. And
yeah.
Remember that? And it was weird even then. He got like crushed, and it was like a start now, I guess. But you know, like crushed early, gets into a groove. He retired, I think, like 9 in a row at one point, like that. Looked really good, and then comes out the game. So it's just these drastic upswings, downswings that we've seen throughout Keller's career.
I think it's been a bad week for the Pirates in that there are a lot of things that happened that people carry around as symbols for why the team is so inept. Hayes.
You mean the Hayes thing?
Hayes.
Keller.
13 straight losses to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Keller.
I get that. I don't know if I think it's wrong. I would write off Hayes and the Dodgers thing. Because when you look at this, you know, zoom out, look on balance or whatever, like Brian Hayes is still an incredible player. I don't care if he touched first base or not. Mm-hmm. You know, when I wrote something about him talking to the media, I don't care if he ever talks to the media again. He's a great player. Like, throw that away. You know, and they're not going to spend the way the Dodgers do. Like, that's just irrelevant. You know, the Dodgers are going to be better than them, so believe in luck. And
I disagree with you on the Hayes talking to you guys, though. I know that you want to say that because you don't want to make yourself sound self-important. But when the Pirates, when things were going on with them during their glory years, and let's say they came off a bad offseason where they didn't spend a lot of money, but they were still good. I wanted to hear McCutchen when they got to spring training. When Chapman would throw at him, I'd want to hear his take on it. Like, I think I want answers from people, and they don't, where else do you get them? Hayes isn't taken to social media to speak his mind. We need you for that kind of thing.
Talk the next day.
No. I get what you're saying. You're talking like when people got pissed off that he didn't talk that night. Is that what you mean?
I just feel like you could do that. You can say something about yourself and where you're at as a group, and you talk the next day and like whatever.
You said it wouldn't matter if he never talked again. I would disagree with that. That's all.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. But honestly, like my point though, man, is like the Mitch Keller stuff does matter to me because it is. We're talking about Tyler Glasnow, right? And a lot of people are likening him to Tyler Glasnow, and for fair reasons. Like, they didn't figure it out during the same stretch of their career. Mm-hmm. And people are looking at it and saying, oh, my God, here we go again. Here's Tyler Glasnow 2.0. And they're not wrong. And it's up to the Pirates to disprove that. And they are handling Mitch Keller differently, but the results aren't looking any different. And you're in a tough spot right now with, like, what you can do. You know, do you send him to the minors? Do you send him to the bullpen? Like, what's the productive? Did he send him to the injured list? What's the most productive use of his time? Mm-hmm. And I know this about Keller. I don't know how, and this is sort of a sentiment that I get around the organization. Like, how do you run him out there 4 days from now and do the same thing?
He's done a pretty good job when he gets blown up of being competent the next start out, but that's not good enough back and forth. Personally, or I think even they would tell you that. Obviously, the results are that his ERA is over 7. So the good-bad thing isn't working.
And absolutely. And that's a nice feather in your cap, I guess, in a way. But, I mean, how about you don't get blown up in the first place? And you need – I mean, that's what this season is about. It's about finding consistency for him. And, you know, half of the current sample size, I was in the camp of, like, you got to let him do it. You got to let him do it. And, like, to me, this is treading in sort of territory and like, okay, we've seen enough. There's an issue here. There's an issue with what we're doing. And
do you think they recognize that, and what do you think they'll do about it?
I think they do, and I do think they'll do something about it. I don't think it's going to be the minors. I could be wrong. You know, I'm curious with Trevor Cahill's move to the bullpen, Andrew. Like, maybe this is just me spitballing or whatever, but like, what if you piggyback two of them? What if you went into a start with Mitch and say, like, look, you're going to throw 50 or 60 pitches. We're going to bring Cahill in around the third or fourth. We're just going to see how this goes. But you don't need to think about a whole workload. Just, like, think about these are your pitches. This is your plan. Try to, like, drill it down. And, like, yes, it takes a guy out of your bullpen, but it's at least something. Or, I mean, maybe you flip him. I mean, maybe you start Cahill and bring Keller out of the bullpen and have him throw through.
Man, that's still treating him with kid gloves if you do that.
I know, but what, is it better if you send him down? I can't come up with a reason for why it's better.
He's never, unlike Glasnow, whose career ERA at AAA is under 2, where he blew people away down there. And when the Pirates would say things, when Huntington would say things like he has nothing left to prove at AAA, it was valid. That's not true, Keller.
Okay, I get that. I don't disagree with that step, Andrew. I'm just saying the next step with when he comes back, like, what's your solution then? He still has to do the same stuff. Like, you think that because he got AAA hitters out, it's going to translate to getting guys out in the major leagues, or he's automatically going to feel like he can?
It might give him confidence, but I agree with you. It probably still won't work. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not completely against it, because I do think, like, you and I were texting about this, and looking at him on that Zoom call, it looked like a man who was just beaten down without it. And honestly, like, that's one of the big things in my head, looking at this, saying, like, I've never seen this kid so distraught mm-hmm. over what he's doing. Maybe it would make sense. Or maybe it makes sense to say, hey, Mitch, how's your quad? Looks a little banged up, you know, and go just watch some video, do some side work, do anything. And so I do think they're going to do something. I just don't have it nailed down yet, what they're going to do.
I'm just hung up on the idea. I'm just still trying to make sense of how he got to be such a big prospect in the first place, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, he was drafted high. He throws mid to high 90s.
So does everybody. So does David Bednar.
Fair.
Right?
Fair.
That doesn't distinguish him in any way. He's not a big guy. He doesn't intimidate you. He's not out there looking like Garrett Cole or Tyler Glass now on the mound. He's a medium-build pitcher.
Fair point. Fair point.
He was a second-round pick. He wasn't like a top-10 pick like Tyone or Cole or any of those guys. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I fell down the rabbit hole of he's got to be a great prospect, so many resources and so much has been put on his back, but why? What has he done to deserve or earn that reputation?
Well, I mean, you're saying he hasn't torn up AAA, but I mean, look at his minor league numbers. I mean, they're pretty good. He's done some stuff in the minor leagues. Maybe he didn't dominate as much as you would want, but I think he showed that he was a legitimate prospect coming up through. And you know, MLB pipeline, where their people are a lot smarter than me and have seen a lot more than me, has consistently had him rank high. I mean, not everybody was fooled. But I agree with you that, like, you know, we're talking here about him as this, like, generational pitching talent. And, I mean, yeah, it may just not be that. And he certainly wouldn't be the first guy who was, like, ranked and had some success in the major leagues and came up and it didn't pan out and it never pans out. I don't see that being the end result, but I mean, I understand the question that you're asking of, like, when did he become this elite prospect?
I mean, think about this. If he is this bad in a climate where pitchers have such an advantage over hitters, when or how is he ever going to be good?
Well, he needs to start using some sticky stuff. I think we've landed on the solution. No, I'm just kidding. A fair point. Again, a completely fair point. However, like, it's not news for a dude to struggle going from AAA to the majors, and it's.
But this is a whole different kind of struggle. This is.
I understand.
Whole different kind of struggle.
I understand that, but it's not Mitch's fault that a bunch of people came up before him and also struggled. So people have zero patience with it. Like, there would be more patience here if the Pirates hadn't screwed this up a lot.
Well,
it's not perfect. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying that, like, it's happened so much that there's.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go again mentality.
I just think if you've made 28 starts in the big leagues and your ERA is closer to 6 than it is 5, that's like a team is not impatient if they send you down to the minor leagues or move you to the bullpen.
I completely agree.
That's a season's worth of starts and you're 26 or 25 years old, whatever he is.
And if his name wasn't Mitch Keller and it wasn't the expectations attached to him, he would be in AAA.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's certainly not a unique thing in sports to see that. It's not just baseball.
Man, who do you blame for his, like, crappy body language and total lack of confidence?
Him? I mean, I don't see who else to blame. I mean, I'm not going to blame Shelton. I'm not going to blame, you know, I don't know.
Well, we blame the Pirates for we blame the Pirates for that with Glass now.
Did we? I mean,
I think most
blame
fans
the Pirates
do.
For how they had Glasnow pitch. I don't blame the Pirates for how Glasnow reacted to.
Well,
things.
Right, but the way he carried himself on the mound when he got traded to the Rays, my opinion was he looks like he has such a crisis of confidence in himself that I don't see how a guy like that is ever going to be successful in the major leagues. He looked like he fought himself every time he pitched here.
And that's the way Mitch looks.
Exactly.
But, I mean, the Pirates didn't do it. But they caused that with Glasnow because of how they had him pitch, and they limited it. Like, they're not limiting Keller in a way that's, like, taking him away from doing what he is supposed to be doing.
I got you on that.
What he's doing, screwing it up. Not commanding it.
So their game plan with him is right. It's just the execution blows.
My opinion, yeah. I don't see what else the Pirates could be doing here.
All right. You going to talk to Front Row Amy when you're in Milwaukee? Is she still at games?
I have no idea who Front Row Amy is, so I'm going to say no, I won't talk to her.
That's a good move by your part to plead the fifth on that
I literally do not know what you're talking
about. Oh, my God. You're a baseball man and you don't know who Front Row Amy is?
I have no idea.
Oh, that's a terrible job by you, Jason.
Father's ashes. What did I do?
You just need to look her up. That's all.
I think I'm good.
She's a famous fan.
Sounds like this falls in the category of me being very happily married, which I am.
Correct. All right, Jason. Yeah. Good talk. Enjoy Milwaukee.
All right. Will do.
Bye now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.